The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Ammoni, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the triremes with the priest, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by my cham. Now turn with me, look later on in the chapter, we find that, go with me to chapter number 2, still judgment. I mean, as you read Zephaniah, God is pronouncing judgment after judgment. Matter of fact, look with me, as you look with me in chapter number 2 and verse number 6, and the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds of flock, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah, and they shall feed thereupon in the houses. He goes down through here. He talks about their captivity, visiting them there. There is some positive in there. God in his judgment here, he says, I'm going to judge you, and then I'm going to judge the people that I judge you with. That is our God. Amen. You go to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. God said, I'll put my hook. I'm going to drag you down here to do my will. And that is our God. And something we need to understand with everything that we're seeing in this generation. And I know where I'm at now. We believe in a sovereign God.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, Obama, yes. Biden, Putin, none of them people have ever taken God by surprise. And I'll dare to say this, all they are is pawns in the hand of our God. And it has never been out of control with God. Never. Not one time has this thing been out of control. God is not up there eating Rolaids and drinking Maalox, worried about how this thing going to turn out. He knows how it's going to turn out. He's God. And let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer tonight. Father, we come before you tonight. In Jesus' name, we want to thank you for what our hearts have felt here in the church. Thank you for the privilege of preaching. God, I beg you, Lord, that you would let me be a blessing to your people tonight for your glory and your honor. Lord, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to give you several things out of this. We live in a wild generation. There's no doubt about it. Who would ever thought? And I'm going to say some things because I know everybody's thinking about them. And everything that's going on in our generation, Corona, our politics, tonight while we sit here, Ukraine is being bombed, and we don't even know if that's just a front and some sort of propaganda that they want us to see and things of that nature. There's a lot going on. Tonight as we look at Zephaniah and we think about prophetically and looking prophetically, we can look at prophecy. Prophecy interests me, especially when you got Russia moving down and things happening there and all that going on. And there is a very prophetical side to prophecy, deep, some of it hard to be understood. I'm sure there's, and even saying that, some of y'all are cringing, just waiting for me to say something and to see if you agree with me. There is a lot of different ideologies in this bill tonight, and funny thing, every one of us are right, amen, and I guess you should be sure in what you believe, hallelujah. So I'm going to be careful tonight and tread lightly in that area, but there is a very prophetical side to prophecy, but there is a very practical side to prophecy tonight. And those passages are just as important as the deep ones, and one of them being 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trust breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despised despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Every bit of that you can just about find in the average church in this generation, amen. And that is a very practical side. You can dig through the epistles and you can find more of that. Very practical. Looking out, every one of us would agree that we live in a wild day. It's amazing. You can sneeze in a department store right now and everybody think you throwed a hand grenade out there, amen. And I find it kind of funny, just to be honest with you. And if it's a long line, do that. You'll get up front, amen. And there is a lot of things going on in our generation. Politically, every one of us should be very stirred tonight in what we are seeing. I can promise you that our Christian values and rights are going to be more challenged the further we go in this thing. And as we look at Zephaniah tonight, I want to make a very practical application with Zephaniah as we look at this young man and study out his word. I don't have time to read every bit of it tonight, but there is a lot of judgment. Let me just give you a little bit of background, and I know that this may be elementary to some, but I sure would love to be a help to you tonight as we look at this. Historically, the position that Israel is in and Judah at this time, I know that most everybody knows this, but I like Old Testament survey and things like that. And as you think about historical, where they are at, we know where they're at in this time. Matter of fact, the Bible in verse number 1 lets us know the time of Zephaniah's prophecy, and it is during the days of Josiah. And now, when you say the name Josiah, Brother Jared, said, every time I hear you preach, you say Josiah. And I like him. I'd like to hang out with Josiah. He is a radical man. I mean, what y'all like when going around the countryside burning things? I mean, man, I'm telling you. And then everything that he did, Josiah would have been a lot of fun to hang out with and fired up for God, literally. Amen. And so we look at that. So we know that Zephaniah is prophesying during that day. So our minds historically jump to that time period. We can go all the way back to Rehoboam, Jeroboam, where the kingdom was divided and 10 tribes went north, 2 tribes stayed in Jerusalem. And when you study that, the 10 tribes, there was not one king among them that we would even consider to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. But like a Democrat, hallelujah. Say amen. Y'all might as well smile. I just made some folk mad, but it'll be all right. Hallelujah. And I'm going to dig a ditch tonight. Amen. But anyway, in them 10 tribes, there was not one king that we would consider to be saved by the grace of God. They were eat up with worshiping false gods, Baal. And matter of fact, we go back there, Jeroboam introduced calf worship to them. And all it was a political move to keep everybody from going back to worship and reuniting with each other. Very selfish, if you ask me. And so you study them. We know that at this point in Zephaniah's life, that the judgment of God has done fail on the northern kingdom. They have fallen. God has used the Assyrians there to take them and do his judgment on them. And we know that at this point in time, Judah, the 2 tribes, and they had a handful of men that we would consider to be saved by the grace of God. They've had some touches of revival. Matter of fact, at this point in time, they are having a touch of revival. Greatly. Matter of fact, one of the greatest they've ever had. Josiah had the greatest Passover that had ever been or ever would be in the land of Israel. You can imagine the celebration there in Jerusalem, in Judah, in that southern kingdom as they celebrated and they worshiped God as they had found the book. And man, there had been a renewing of the Word of God there in Jerusalem. You can imagine what it was like. So you think about that historically, where Zephaniah is at, and I can imagine some of the critics as if now they having revival and you preaching this, Zephaniah, man, your message is about judgment. God is going to judge us. You mean to tell me God is going to judge us? And that's what it's about, the judgment. God is fixing to judge them. And he said, I'm going to judge those that mess with you too while I'm judging you. It's a wild judgment in Zephaniah. As we look tonight, I want to begin to look at Zephaniah and kind of wrap this here. in and maybe give you some things. And the name Zephaniah means the Lord hides and protects. And you study his name. We can look tonight at this man by the name of Zephaniah, and we see his heritage. You're going to find that Zephaniah is great-great-great-grandson to King Hezekiah. Zephaniah is of the king's seed. He is of royal blood. More than likely, Zephaniah is kin to Josiah. And then also, if we got dug in a little bit deeper, I cannot prove this. It's just, you know how it is, preachers. And he was more than likely kin to Daniel also. Daniel was of the king's seed, and you can study that out and find that out. So we find that this man by the name of Zephaniah's heritage, he's a great-great-great-grandson of King Hezekiah. He's kin to Josiah. We see the nation at that time and where they're at. They're in revival, but I want you to understand that this nation also realizes that the judgment of God is lingering over them. I assure you that it was not a quiet thing amongst them, knowing what God had told Josiah through the mouth of that prophetess. I know most everybody knows this, but we'll look at it tonight and just bring that. But when Josiah and them found the word of God, it so panicked Josiah. Josiah said, "We are in trouble." And he got to reading that and he realized how far they were from God. Even after going through the land and burning idols, Josiah realized, "We are in trouble." And Josiah humbled himself and he responded correctly to the word of God. And God seen that and God knew that. And in that, they sent to the prophetess to find out what they should do. And she sent word back again and said, "You tell Josiah that God has said that I will hold my judgment off until you die." And that's exactly what God did. So you can imagine, man, if I'd have been living in Judah at that time in Jerusalem, I'd been praying for the longevity of Josiah, that God would allow that man to live so that the judgment would not fall. They knew this. They knew that judgment was lingering over them, and they had that there. And man, I'm going to tell you, I am an American tonight, and I am very proud of that. Matter of fact, if we got in some big dispute and they begin to draft, I would lie about my age so I could be drafted, amen. And I mean that. I would fight for this great nation that God has given us. But our nation is in trouble tonight. The judgment of God lingers over our nation tonight. Somebody should be praying. Somebody should be burdened about our nation. The homosexuality is running absolutely rampant in our nation. Disney and the rest of that crowd in their cartoons are pushing this transgender garbage and the homosexuality at our children. If you cannot see that, you're blind. Hollywood and the rest of that wicked and ungodly crowd are pushing sin. I don't know about you men, but if I was out in public and somebody messed with me, matter of fact, but Mark, I was so mad today about the fire chief, I was ready to go down there, amen. And I'm going to tell you, somebody messed with my family. I'm not a fighter tonight. And but if somebody was to strike my child out in public or my wife, brethren, I'll tell you, I know what I'd do, amen. Somebody would take a whooping, either me or them. And brethren, I'm going to tell you, you just don't mess with a man's family. Y'all understand that tonight? And I know it's Christian what to do, right? But I'm not going to sit back and let somebody mess with my family. But why in the world are we sitting back and allowing Hollywood and allowing the crowd of this world to destroy the minds of our children in this generation? We're doing it, amen. And they are out to get our children. The San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. Anybody see that? They sang a song that said, "We are coming for your children." I told my church, I said, "Let them come." What are they going to do, stab us with a fingernail file? Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Let them come. They want to threaten me. And I'm going to tell you what that was. That was a threat to everybody in here that is godly and trying to raise their children for the glory of God. That is a threat against your family tonight. And I don't know about y'all, but I take a threat very serious. very serious, and we are being threatened in this generation greatly. Somebody needs to rise above it, amen, and take hold of the horns of the altar and pray and beg God. No, this is not a physical fight tonight. It might get there. I'm going to tell you, Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Brethren, it's not a machine gun. It's not a knife. It's not a tank. I wish it was, hallelujah. Don't y'all sometimes wish you just had something to hit? I'm going to tell you, you better get in that prayer closet and you better fight, amen, with everything you got. We're not even putting up a fight in this generation. We don't pray like we used to. We don't dig in that book like we used to. We're not as fervent about the things. David said in Psalm 42, he said, as the heart painted that to the water books, so painted my soul for thee. I am telling you, we have lost that fervency. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We have lost that in this generation. Somebody better desire God. How long has it been since you really fought in the prayer closet? How long has it been since you've been fervent? And I want to say something, and sometimes I think people think you're crazy, but I don't care, man. Some of those nights down there with Brother Hank Vector, Brother Scott, we'd went down there with Brother Vector, and we'd go up down in the woods beside the church, and man, old Brother Hank, it just lit him up, and us young folk would come around, and we'd get down there in them woods, and we'd pray. Man, we'd spend time with God, not to be seen, not to be heard. And I'm going to tell you, if you want victory in your Christian life, one of the greatest places to gain that victory is in Holy Ghost, heaven-sent prayer. I am telling you, there's been times that the prayer closet has been so fervent. And I'm telling you, it seems, and I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost gets you praying about something, you better know that He's wanting to do something in that area. After all, prayer is God letting us in on what He's wanting to do. And I'm telling you, if you got God has got you pinned down praying about something, thank God, pray about it, amen. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are so many people that know nothing about effectual fervent prayer. Some people, when you talk about some of the prayer meetings we got in around the house there, and you talk about praying all night long, they look at you with their eyes going, how in the world do you pray all night long? That's the difference in praying and praying. When God the Holy Ghost anoints your prayer closet and touches you in there, you step from time into eternity in my sense. And I'm telling you, there have been times, and I, brother, you got me reminiscing today, Brother Gillum, about those times and them prayer meetings that I got involved in as a young man, and them fellas wasn't highly educated, but I'm going to tell you something they knew. They knew how to pray. And they knew how to get a hold of God. And they knew. And I'm going to tell you what, if you had something you want prayed about, you would go to those type men. And I guarantee you, every one of you got somebody in your mind right now that you know when you need a prayer answered and you need heaven rung, you call on them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Their name just went right through your mind. There have been times, Brother Brandon, I'm almost hesitant to say this because people look at you like you're crazy or charismatic or whatnot.
Sorry.
I don't give a rip. I'm done past that. I do care what people think about me, but in the other sense, y'all know what I mean. There have been times, y'all ever been in prayer or been somewhere and you just felt a demonic presence?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that demonic presence has scared you away from praying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Be honest. I'm talking about a demonic oppression. Just come on you, and before you know it, it has scared you out of your prayer closet. You know what you need to do? You need to ball your spiritual fist up.
Yes, sir.
And you need to butt heads.
Yes, sir.
And you need to claim, like the preacher said, the name of Jesus Christ and butt heads. And I promise you that'll be some of the most victorious praying you've ever had in your life. There have been times that the prayer closet has been so fervent and God has blessed so much in that spiritual fight that I literally found myself just swinging my fist, praying, begging God to move and work. Now, some people look at you cross-eyed about some of that. But evidently you don't know nothing about fervent prayer. Real Holy Ghost prayer.
Amen.
Did you speak in any other languages? No. But he did. He made some groanings that could not be uttered. And as we look at this tonight and we think about Zephaniah, and let me give this to you. I want to be a blessing. I'll try to wrap this up here. We see the nation at this time. Yeah, they're in revival, but they know the judgment of God lingers over them. Turn with me tonight to Isaiah chapter number 39. As Zephaniah is of the king's seed, not only does Zephaniah know that when Josiah dies, the judgment of God is fixing to fall on them, but there's another judgment that lingers over the head of Zephaniah as he is the king's seed. Y'all remember in Isaiah 39, and we go to other scripture, I just want to deal with it out of here tonight, and we find that Hezekiah was sick, and then the king of Babylon sent men down there to check on him, let him know, hey, we're thinking about you. And oh, Hezekiah showed them everything that they had. And Isaiah came to him and he said, how much did you show him? What did you show him? And Hezekiah said, I showed him everything. And in that, God said to Hezekiah, look with me here. In verse number 5 of chapter 39 of Isaiah, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord. And of thy souls that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Zephaniah, as the king's seed, knows that this judgment is lingering over his head. Daniel was in that crowd. And notice what the Bible said, that they would be made eunuchs in the land of Babylon. Do you understand that terminology? Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like dealing with it in a mixed congregation, and I'm not going to go far with it. But I'm telling you, there were different degrees to those eunuchs. Sometimes they just snipped them where they couldn't have children. But sometimes, men, they took everything they had. A eunuch, they basically neutered the dude. And they took everything that he had. And Zephaniah knows that the prophecy has been made that the king of Babylon's coming. Yeah. I'm King Hezekiah's great, great, great grandson. And this judgment's lingering over my head. That I'm going to be taken to Babylon as soon as Josiah dies, judgments fall. And that's what I got to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Zephaniah, this is a gloom doom chapter here. It ain't looking good for old Zephaniah. Son, he's got it hanging over his head. Now, I know, church, I'm telling you, America deserves the judgment of God. We'd all agree with that.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that we allow Playboy to do what they do, and that we allow Budweiser and the rest of that crowd to do what they do. Somebody said, you're against alcohol? Yes, I am. I'm teetotally against alcohol.
Yes.
Every bit of it. If you'd have seen, it robbed me of the best years of my life. I made it, the furthest I made it in high school because of alcohol. I started drinking like in the sixth grade, and it's not even really fair to think about. I'm going to tell you something. The furthest I made it in high school was seventh grade. That's the last grade I ever passed. And alcohol blew some of the best years of my life, and I've got scars from it. Yes, I'm against it, amen. No, I'm not going to social drink it neither. I couldn't handle it tonight. It would get me. It's dangerous. It's trouble. Oh, I socially use meth too, okay? So, y'all with me tonight? We ought to be against some sin. America's in trouble. How many of y'all would have ever thought that something as child pornography would make it in America? The Hollywood elites are part of that child trafficking mess, and our politicians are. I tell you what, it'd take care of some of that. A public hanging, amen.
Amen.
Say, man, you're crazy, preacher.
No, you're not. No.
We're in trouble.
You're right.
We are in trouble. I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but we are in trouble in America tonight. We need to see the picture as we look at Zephaniah and see everything that's going on here. And brethren, we see that in Isaiah 39, he's got the judgment of God lingering over his head. He knows he's going to be taken and he's going to be made a eunuch. I cannot find biblically how far Zephaniah makes it into the Babylonian captive or none of that. But we know that Daniel did. Daniel was taken. He was made a eunuch in the land of Babylon. I do not know to what degree they made Daniel, but I'm going to tell you something. We can look at him, and you know what Daniel did, even though they did that to him? Daniel served the God of heaven. Amen. It didn't matter his surroundings, he still served God. Amen. You can blame your wife, you can blame the folks on the job, you can blame the spiritual condition. Hey, there's still a possibility in this generation to have the touch of God. Amen. And the power of God, make a difference. Why do you want it? To make a difference in somebody's life.
Yes.
I want to make a difference on the job. I want to be a witness. I'm a very practical guy. The guys down at Napa mean a lot to me. Yes, sir. I go to the same parts house on purpose because I am a missionary to Napa Auto Parts House in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And I'm a missionary to Truck Plied up the road that sells the big truck parts. I'm a missionary at John Deere. I'm a missionary at Kubota. I'm a missionary to Caps Brothers Woodyard down in Lantern, South Carolina. Brethren, we should have a burden. I want the touch of God in my life for those men. Man, I want that. They call my log truck the confession booth. Hallelujah. Down at the woodyard. Here comes a preacher. Get on the CB. Hey, Jesus saves. Amen.
Yes, sir. Praise God.
We ought to be a witness everywhere we go. I have preached funerals off being people's gas. I call it, I'm their gas pump pastor. I see them down at the gas pump house. Your boys done have been praying for them. It's real. Matter of fact, I preached a funeral about 6 years ago. I was a gas pump pastor to this man. He's a logger. And we always got fuel at the same time. And his boy called me up. He said, can you preach Dad's funeral? And I said, sure. And I never really thought it. He said, Dad had a lot of respect for you. And you're the only preacher. He's a wicked man. I didn't get up and lie. I didn't tell him he's in heaven. I said, I don't know where he's at. I'm not going to lie to you. He's dead. There's nothing we can do. We're going to deal with the living today.
Yeah, amen.
He's a wicked man. But out of that, some of y'all went to school with him, Brandon. Out of that, one of his boys, man, I'm about to shout all over this place. That boy got on meth, was on meth from the time he was 20 years old, got it from one of the truck drivers on the log yard. From the time he was 21 years old to 36, he's on meth. Blowed everything he had. And I get the privilege. Matter of fact, while I was sitting here in the house of God today, he called me. And he's been working for me for the past 5 years, been clean, goes to church with us.
Amen.
Yes, sir, it's worth it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need the touch of God in our lives.
Yes,
Zephaniah had a lingering judgment. Yeah, we know it's lingering. We know it's there. He had a lingering judgment over him, the judgment of God from what great, great, great granddaddy did. Man, we could study here. But not only this, but I want you to know this, and let me move on. I give this and we'll close tonight. We find that this heritage, we've dealt with that. We see the hazard, the judgment of God over his head. But then we see his help. Amen. Zephaniah wouldn't by himself. Son, there was a major collaboration of men during this day and this hour. Man, you look at it, you study, and I ain't got time to deal with all this, but I'll just name them. Jeremiah's alive at this time. They're contemporaries. First time I ever heard that, they're contemporary, I got mad. I said, I don't like contemporary, amen. I had no idea what it meant. That was a bad word at our house. No, there ain't no way Jeremiah listened to contemporary music. Hallelujah. I had no idea. And hell, I know that means they were alive at the same time. Amen. Man, you got Isaiah, prophet. I'm going to get some of these, bro. And Zephaniah is alive. Then you got Jeremiah. He seems to be the major of this group of, you've got Ezekiel alive at this time. Man, you've got Daniel alive at this time. You've got Habakkuk prophesying at this time. You've got Nahum prophesying the fall of Nineveh. You've got Obadiah prophesying at this time. And not only did he have all those men, but he had his king, amen. He had Josiah, hallelujah. So yes, the judgment of God's lingering, and he's living in this time. I'm going to tell you something, church. He had help. We have each other.
Amen.
We've got to have the fellowship of the saints. Man, I'm saying some of y'all I don't know greatly. I'm going to tell you something. Some of y'all been a real help in my life sitting here. Some of y'all I've known longer than others. And this is not a Lone Ranger kind of thing. I cannot do this by myself. Bro, I hardly know you. Because of wood, you know me, and you're like, yeah. Chainsaws and all that stuff. Yeah, we'll have golden chainsaws in heaven, brother. Who would want to work to heaven? Nothing to cut down. There'd be some glorified trees, amen. They probably say, in our section, we'll just say, do not touch. I've seen God help and touch. Every time I look at you, Brandon, I can't help but think about that night at Zirconia.
Yeah.
Time of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And then the God of heaven do that. Yes, sir. He did, didn't he? That was a bottom knocker. I will never forget that night. Somebody said, y'all get all emotional. Yes, we do. That's the way God made me. Could you imagine the old dude in Acts chapter number 3, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. And the Bible says he went leaping and praising in them. According to some people, it'd kind of be like this. Do you know how he was acting? I guarantee you he went there, wow! I mean, leaping and praising God. It was such a scene that 5,000 people gathered around them and they got saved by the grace of God. Y'all ever have just one of them days where you just can't help it? I worked with a crew of boys and one of them would always say, preacher, you're cheesing today. I said, I know. Y'all ever been driving down the road by yourself, nobody else around? Just you and God. And man, he come in that vehicle or wherever you're at in fellowship with you. I'm going to tell you God's real. I've done that in the dentist chair and you know God's real. I was getting my teeth worked on and the lady that just happened to be working, it was her father-in-law was a good preacher in our ear, and we got the fellowship and they done shotted me up and had stuffed in there. She got to crying, I got to crying. And I mean, that really happened. Me and her, I was laying in that dentist chair crying, and so was she. Man, we had a time in the Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? How long has it been since you had a time like that? Yeah, we know we got the judgment of God lingering over us as a nation. Yeah, we know we're in trouble. We know that even like Zephaniah, man, you look at what he knows what's laying over his head. He's got a lot laying on him. Not only that, we see all these men that are friends. And I'm telling you, it was an ordinary thing. These men bumped into each other all the time. You imagine how Josiah felt as he's, well, we're going to burn today. And he's going out. And then God has sent his preacher down to the house of God, Jeremiah. And he gets down there and gets near the house of God. And he hears a voice crying out. And that voice is saying something like this. Hey, seek ye out the old paths and walk therein. That was Jeremiah. That was Josiah's pastor. Amen. You study it out. Jeremiah was a very persecuted man. But it was not during the life of Josiah. You study it. Jeremiah is a hard book to gather chronologically. But I'm going to tell you something. I promise you. Y'all reckon Josiah let somebody touch his preacher? No, sir. Jeremiah down there preaching. Habakkuk's preaching around town. They're in revival. Josiah's, man, I'm telling you, out burning things. He spots the sepulcher of those priests that had offered upon that false. And he said, I'll tell you what, boys, we ain't going to even let them bones lay around here. Go in their tomb and bring me their bones out of there. And they burned their bones. Going around the countryside burning stuff. Josiah's on fire. Jeremiah's preaching. Habakkuk's preaching. Man, you got this host of men preaching. They've got each other. They know what is lingering over them. And they know as soon as Josiah dies, it's over like that. I mean, just like that. We see a security, the severity of God's judgment. See, God's going to judge Judah. He's going to judge others. But I want you to notice this with me. Turn with me to Zephaniah chapter number 2. And all this judgment. Just Zephaniah, is that all you got to preach? That's what God told me. Most of these men would not have made it in our generation. Because most of them preach the same message over and over and over again. I could hear the average person that sat under Zephaniah and his message, preacher, I'm just not getting fed. Yeah.
Come on.
Could you just do something else? I'm just not getting fed. How many of y'all have heard that? I have quite a bit. Might be the truth, bro. Just not getting fed. I had a preacher friend of mine. He had a man leave his church because he preached too much Bible. I really dealt with a guy got mad at me because I didn't shake his hand one day. Seriously, that really happened to me. Dude got mad at me and then wanting to fist fight over it. Man, we could write us preachers and everybody else, if we could write the greatest country and western song ever made if we put all our problems together.
Yes, sir.
People are crazy nowadays. I'm like one preacher. I really believe that Corona has separated a lot of the sheep from the goats.
Yes, sir.
In our churches.
Yes.
It was just, that's just a good excuse. I ain't got to go back now. And that's for real.
Amen.
Say, I'm scared of Corona. Maybe just need to trust God.
Amen.
True.
Watch me go get it now that I said that. I'm being honest with you. Hey, and it is.
Yeah.
We had it, made it, we're good. And I know that it's real. I don't want to get into the conspiracy side of this thing. Y'all, some of y'all really be shouting with me, amen.
Yeah.
I believe it. So what do we do? Look in chapter 2. I'll close with this. Man, in all this judgment, man, this is a rough book. It really is, Brother Vince. It's not really one you go to get encouraged, to be honest with you. But look down in verse number 1 of chapter 2. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass, as the chaff before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come unto you. Look what he says. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be. Ye shall hide in the day of the Lord's anger.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's good.
There is a difference tonight in hiding in God and hiding from God.
Right.
You ask Jonah how hiding from God works.
Right.
And then there's a crowd in Revelation chapter number 6 where they hide in the clefts of the rock when they see him because they're fearful. That same prophecy's in Isaiah 2. You, one of these days, how's hiding going to go for them from God? But I'm not hiding from God tonight. I am hiding in God. And in the midst of all this judgment, and I'm telling you, it's fixing to come down. And Zephaniah knows that, hey, I'm going to be a eunuch. Josiah dies. We're in trouble. It's on. But in that God gives him hope, amen. You can hide in me.
Amen.
In closing, think about it. Think about it. He's preaching that. Daniel's alive. Y'all reckon Daniel hid in God?
Yes, he did.
See, I'm a hiding, but I'm not hid. How you think it felt as Daniel left Jerusalem and they began to approach Babylon with walls that are about 250 foot high? Got the blue gate, beautiful gate. They've got that thing in the museum. Got him and he's going in there and he sees the blue gate. And on those walls, 60 miles of wall in ancient Babylon. It's so fortified. It's dug up in the ground 80 foot. It's about 60 foot wide, 80 foot wide. I mean, a very fortified city. How do you think Daniel felt as he was going in there to Babylon, and how intimidating that had to be as he looked there? Over 250 watchtowers on that wall. Over 200 temples of Diana in the city of Babylon. They had a statue estimated of Baal made of solid gold. The estimated weight was over 50,000 pounds. How intimidating you think that was? Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Daniel made it through every bit of it. Why? Because he was hid in God. Amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if you really look at it right, here comes Daniel in. There's the captives. Babylon thought they had Daniel captive, but it was the total opposite. God was fixing to take Babylon captive. Daniel was God's Trojan horse. And he sent him right in the gates of that city. Nobody could get in there. It was fortified. And guess what? And you can think what you want to, but you read about Daniel chapter number 4, and old Nebuchadnezzar got saved. Daniel went in, never to get hiding in God. I'm going to do right. Can I eat what we need to? Sure. Had a good spirit about it. You can do right and have a good spirit about you. You can. You don't have to be a tail. Daniel. See, I told y'all I only made it to 7th grade. Daniel went in there. Good attitude. Done right. Chapter number 2, he's fishing, get his head cut off. God blesses him. Lets him live, gives him the interpretation there. And old Daniel took that time as God's Trojan horse. Them magicians, astrologers, magi, all that crowd, they couldn't do nothing with that dream. And old Daniel stepped up and said, King, there's a... They can't do it. The magicians, the astrologers, they can't... There's a God in heaven. And then old Neb in chapter number 4, to the entire then known world, to the entire then known world, he wrote his testimony down to the entire then known world and sent it out to every people. I just thought I'd show you what the high God hath wrought. And old Nebuchadnezzar believed in sovereignty like the rest of us. Look at the latter part of that chapter. You look at it.
Right, exactly right.
People that hid in God, we could go all the way back tonight. How about old Noah? Down there been made fun of for 100 and something years. Yeah, Noah, it was going off all around him. He's seen the rain. I mean, he was in that boat, felt the waves. But brethren, you know where Noah was at? He was hiding in God, amen. We can go down there to the city of Jericho to a harlot lady, Rahab. My father-in-law was over at Jericho and he happened upon Jericho. He wasn't supposed to be there and they were excavating it. And he said there was only one part of that wall standing. You know what that was? That was where Rahab lived, amen. I'm talking about they marching around the city. Hey, we gonna destroy this place. Hey, on that 7th day, I mean, Rahab felt the walls are crumbling. She is hidden God.
Hallelujah.
Looked out the window the next, wow. And I'm telling you, if I'd have been Rahab, I'd have crammed everybody in that place I possibly could. How about Daniel chapter number 6? They throwed him in a den of lions. Old king was worried. Daniel just hiding in God. It'll be all right. King come the next morning. Old Daniel was our God that you serve continually. He's able. He's a hiding in God. He is hid. In the midst of all that, man, we could... I hope your mind's stirring. You're thinking Bible characters all the way down through there that have been hit. How about one of the last ones? Isle of Patmos. Prison island. What you going to do now, Big John? We've thrown you out here on this island. What you going to do? I'm going to worship God. He's in the spirit on the Lord's day.
In the spirit.
And old John was worshiping God even though everything was going on all around him. He was hid. He's hiding in God. And what did John see in that hiding place? Out of all those great visions that he saw, what do y'all reckon the greatest was? You know it was. You know exactly what it was. It was him. And I'm going to tell you what, you get in that hiding place and you start seeing him, it'll help you deal with everything else that's going on around you. You better get hid tonight. You better hide in him. I like it. We're hid, but we're seen. I know this. Yeah, y'all got it. You can be hiding in God. I remember them old boys at work after I got saved. I drank and carried on with a lot of boys I worked with, went to school with. And I remember that Monday morning, I'd gotten saved on a Friday night. And when we got to work, we would always go around the room. What'd y'all do this weekend? And my, hey, man, we're drinking, carrying. That's just the way I was. And I'm not proud of that. And I remember I was sitting there, I was nervous because I knew what I was fixing to tell. I was sitting there nervous, bro. Because we'd go around the room telling what everybody did. And it come around to me and I said, I tell you what I did. I got saved, hallelujah. You could hear the crickets chirping in there. Well, we better get to work. It really happened like that. And God started working in my life. I started taking calendars off the wall on the job. Y'all know how it is down there, a bunch of men. I didn't want to see that mess. I was so excited about being saved. I took a grinder and ground Jesus Saves in my locker. Really did. I wanted them to know. My heart had scriptures all over it. My chainsaw chaps. I wanted them to see God in my life. And I didn't even realize it at that point in my life. I was so hidden God. I didn't even know I was. Y'all know what I mean? I mean, I was so hidden God. I didn't even know I was. They'd make fun. They'd put pornography in my lunchbox. They'd bury my Bible. It was something all the time. They rode me. But I'm telling you, did it bother you? I was a hiding, amen.
Amen.
I was a hiding. And you look at all them characters of that Bible hiding in that grace. How many of y'all, we know it's bad out there, but how many of y'all feel that deep, settled peace ministering to your heart? It's going to be all right, ain't it?
No matter what.
It's going to be all right. God's good to us. Even though we're hid, people ought to see us. Preacher, you come on tonight. Old Zephaniah and his name's mean whom God hides. And I said that. And old Zephaniah's hid. Even though all this going on, God said it might be. If you'll seek these things, if you'll seek them, you can hide. Some of y'all better get to hide. But don't hide too good. We need the world to see it. Old feller was really burdened about some guys that he worked with. Kind of got frustrated. You all ever get like that with lost folk? Now, I know we believe in the sovereignty of God, but we still have a responsibility to tell. Every creature. It is not my business who he's going to save, but it is my business to give that gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And sometimes we allow that sovereign stuff to hinder us from being the witness. Well, it's just going to take place. No, you need to get tell somebody.
Amen.
God help you.
Yes,
people ought to see Jesus in us.
Amen.
An old boy got frustrated with some fellas that he worked with, and one in particular, and he looked at him and he said, do you ever think about God? Loved the boy. Wanted to see him saved. Do you ever think about God? And that old boy looked up at him. And he said with tears in his eyes, he said, every morning when you walk through that door, I think about God.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yes, sir.
Preacher.
Yeah.